The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Good morning, everyone. Hey, Matt, congratulations. You made it. It is Friday.
It is. Ho, ho, ho.
There you go.
Weekend coming up. Going to be a beautiful weekend.
You bet. And I'm Peter Christian. That is Mr. Nick Christensen over there. Good morning, Mr. Nick.
Good morning.
And as you probably heard...
I'm here.
Montana's outgoing Congressman Ryan Zinke is joining us here this morning. And you're looking relaxed and fit. And how are you feeling after so much government service, sir?
I'm feeling good, but I'm not done. You know,
right? I know.
There's a lot of work to do between now and January. We got to get through the government shutdown. There's appropriations. There's got to make sure the defense has what they need. There's a lot to do, but it's in my career, Article Number 4, General Order is never leave your post unless properly relieved. So I think we found a great candidate, Aaron Flint. You know, his dad was a bartender in Beer's Tube. He's from Montana. He's 2 Bronze Stars. He worked for Conrad Burns. He worked for me. He worked for Gianforte. So we were talking before. There's only one flaw that I've seen.
Okay.
He's Army. Now, I'm working through it. I'm working through the Army piece. But, a great candidate. And it was time for me. I was going to do one more term. But, I got to attend to some damage over the years. Nothing life-threatening. Just needed to go back to the yards and get repaired a little with a dry dock.
There you go.
But there's still a lot to do, and there are some challenges. I've been to Pakistan recently. I've had the ambassador to Oman hosted him at my house. You know, obviously the Persian Gulf and gas prices remains an issue. And to me, this is not a war choice. Not from us. It is a war choice of Iran.
Right.
And I've talked to every ambassador in the region. And every ambassador in every country is aligned with us. No nukes for Iran.
Right.
No nuclear material. No arsenal of destruction. Remember, Iran funds the Houthis, the Hezbollah, Hamas. And lastly, the straits have to be open. Now, it's interesting. There is no international water in the Straits of Hormuz. There's one side is Iran, and the other side is Oman. There's no international water in there. It's one side or the other. Prior to war, everything was going through Oman, and the channel itself is about 2 miles wide, and the strait's about 40.
Right.
And what Iran has discovered, they don't have to have a nuclear weapon to cause havoc. All you need is to drop a few mines, and mines can be deployed by a sailboat anymore, and they float, and some of them in the bottom are acoustic. There's all sorts of them. But one mine hitting a tanker, or, they produce, about 500-plus drones a week. So if they don't do anything for 3 weeks, they got 1,500 drones. 1,500 drones coming at you. I don't care if you're a warship. You cannot defend 1,500 drones coming at you. You just don't have that ammunition and the drone speed. But also, the Gulf, what's going in and out? You got LNG tankers. I can tell you that's like sitting on a gas station, right? They're
absolutely
highly volatile chemicals.
Right.
And if you hit an oil tanker, that's also an environmental disaster. The president is putting, as much pressure as he can on him. I'm hoping they'll wise up.
Okay, we are less than 30 seconds away from a break, and Ryan Zinke is here not only to talk about what he's been working on, but also to take your phone calls. And, of course, we deeply appreciate the fact that he's here. Our Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke joining us here in the studio. Phone number 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. It's Talk Back for Friday statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
You
in a world of complicated.
Dennis Bragg with your Town Square weather. Sunny, hazy, and hot as we close out the work week, but don't expect that to continue for the end of summer trip to the lake this weekend. Friday will be the hottest day of the week with most locations around 90, even the mid-90s in the lower Clark Fork. But increasing clouds will develop through the afternoon. There is a chance we could see some showers and even thunderstorms develop later in the evening. Saturday will stay warm with highs in the upper 80s, mostly cloudy skies, showers, thunderstorms, possibly some dry lightning. Sunny and a little cooler on Sunday.
Iron Butterfly.
Oh, Iron Butterfly. Yeah, there you go.
All right, there we go. We are back, everybody. Good to have you along this morning. I'm Peter Christian, and that, of course, is Nick Christensen over there. And joining us on the here in the studio this morning, Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke. And we have the phone lines are already lighting up for you, Ryan. Are you ready?
Let's go. Good morning.
Let's jump in. Nancy is first. Nancy, good morning. You're on Talk Back with Congressman Zinke. Go ahead.
Good morning, Nancy.
Hey, good morning, Congressman. Good to talk with you again. You know, you have been so active protecting river frontage here in Montana and also the Flathead Lake, which is a treasure in our treasure state. But who are you passing the torch to after you leave your post there in Congress? And thank you so much, and God bless, and have a wonderful weekend.
Well, I'll tell you, if you're up in the Flathead, you know, I can tell you the summer's pretty good because we're at full pool.
Yeah.
You know what? And it wasn't climate change. It was management. And this is an example where all parties got together.
Right.
Right. And decided that they would manage by science and look at the water inflow and out. And you know what? It's a wonderful summer. For me, you know, on the torch, and look, you don't appoint. You have to elect. And, you know, I have an influence, but it's going to be up to Montana to decide. And what I think is I found a magnificent younger man. He's got two Bronze Stars. He's a radio talk show host, conservative. He worked in Conrad Burns' office. He worked in my office as a state director. He worked for Gianforte. His wife is terrific. Jessica just knocks out of the park. You know, great. And he's a Montanan. You know, his dad was a bartender at the Beer's Tube, was a Big Fork Playhouse guy. His mom's from Glasgow, so is my mom. He understands Montana, and he understands the importance of our outdoor experience, of why we live here. And that's public lands and our rivers, and make sure that we pass a legacy, you know, on to the next generation. So he's strong on that. There's only one thing that I found as a possible flaw. He's the United States Army. Now, I'm working through it as best I can, being a Navy commander. But
there's got to be a support group for you somewhere.
There's a support group. He's also a colonel, like colonel. He's the same rank. So, the Army, I got to tell you, from a special forces view, he's served in Afghanistan. He's served in Iraq. He served with special forces. He's super. But the Army, we say that, Jeff. We love the Army, Air Force, Marines. We love them all, and thanks for their service.
Yeah, what was that old expression? We love the Navy. They give that when we have to go fight a war, they give us a ride.
So, well, I'm a little partial to the Navy, but
I know. All right.
We have much better uniforms, I think.
All right. We've got folks waiting to talk to you. The Skip is up first. Skip, good morning. You're on with Congressman Zinke. Go ahead.
Good morning, Skip.
Yes, sir. Good morning. It's wonderful to hear you again. You sound like you're getting younger. I don't know how you do that.
Well, so, you know, when you decide not to run, when you call, you know, people actually answer the phone because they know you're not calling for money. You're just calling to say hi. So it's kind of a nice experience. But I'm working still hard because there's a lot to do in D.C., and you know what? Well, you run the tape, you do your job, and this is where when you represent, you got to represent. That means, you know, while you're in office, you represent. You get out there and you do your job. Montana's a great state, but not everyone thinks like we do across the country, and you got to be there to articulate our values. And public lands was one of them. I was shocked. When the sale of public lands came up, it's a given, like a geometry quiz, that public lands is always going to be there. But it was under real threat for being sold. And this is, you know, God has a purpose for everything. And I think God, you know, sent me into the House again to make sure that our public lands remained in our hands. Public lands mean public hands.
Okay.
Good morning. What's question?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You've done such a wonderful job for all of us. I want you to, if you can, I was one that actually handed you some paperwork down here in Ravalli County that was from our collaborative, and then an extra copy for you of the letter from our commissioners to the Washington delegation, and had to do with what was going on with the PowerPoints of the Sheep Creek mine.
Yep.
And I was wondering if you could give us a couple cliff notes as to what happens with in Washington to with I say all of you trying, I hope you are, to see if we can get that mine off of the Fast Track 41 list. And in other words, and maybe what is the Fast Track 41 as to its
All right. Thanks for the call.
I appreciate it if you could tell us, and thank you, sir, for your help in every way down here.
Well, you got the two SEALs. You got Sheehy, myself, that are have talked to the president and having it removed from the fast track. And look, you know, Montana's a treasure state. And there's a place to mine, and there's a place not to mine. But if you're going to mine, you have to go through a process. Do you have the water? Where are you gonna pile the tailings? What type of a mine is it? You know, what is the community impacts? This is why we have a process. But to jump over the top of the county commissioners, and remember, you know, a representative works for the people. And I've always said the county commissioners in the front line. And when the county commissioners object strongly in this case to Sheep Creek, we should pay attention. And it's too premature to put it on a fast track. Doesn't mean, you know, they got a lot of work to do on that, a lot of public PR, but they got to go through the process to make sure the mine is actually viable. And that's where I said it should be on the fast track, because there's a lot of homework that needs to be done, you know, prior to going forward with this particular project.
Because it's going to be permanent. I mean, the changes to the landscape will be permanent with that mine.
Yeah, and so. there are a lot of great plays in Montana. There's, believe it or not, Butte has a great play. There's one in Avon. There's some really good mining plays in Montana that we need, but there's a process to make sure it's the right place at the right time.
You bet. And we are going to continue with our visit with Ryan Zink. He's going to be here until about 8:50 or so. And so the phone lines are lighting up. We have Harry, Rick, and Emmett, and Dave, and so many others who want to ask him a question. We're going to come right back after this quick timeout. Our number, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We'll be right back.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
Hey, it's the Friday edition of Talk Back, and we are rocking it today because from now until just before 9 o'clock, Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke joining us here in the studio this morning, taking your phone calls, starting with this from Harry. Harry, good morning. You're on with Congressman Zinke. Go ahead.
Good morning, Harry.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Ryan. Yeah, thanks for coming on. Maybe you can encourage the guy following, trying to take your place to come on here, too. But my question is, you are, and they should be looking for it, for waste, fraud, and abuse, and a lot of different things. But I was in the Navy for 4 years. My brother was in the Navy for 10, and he worked at a shipyard. And I worked for McDonnell Douglas when they started the C-17 program. And so we've seen it from both sides. And there's mounts of waste, of fraud, and could be
massive
abuse, too, in the military. And so 100%. You being a military man, I'm sure you've seen a lot of it. And maybe you could spearhead, maybe with other veterans that are in this Congress, try to push for more oversight, more accountability. Because, I mean, I know that they did an audit here years ago in the Army, and they couldn't count for $6 trillion in for 20 years. That came and went, and nothing ever really came of it. So, I mean, this, you know, there's a lot of money that goes in there and just disappears. And we, you know, everybody's afraid to, you know, question the Army or military for it. But, I mean, that would be a big thing. So, like I say, it's a big ask, and you don't have much time, but maybe you could spearhead a, you know, get something going to get this taken care of. I mean, they're wasting a lot of money.
I couldn't agree with you more. So, what do we get on a $1.2 trillion budget? Right? So, what do we get? So, you got the Department of War has 800,000 DOD employees.
Wow.
Now, this is not in service uniform. This is civilians. So, how much does 800,000 employees cost you? Because you got to pay for pension, you got to pay for health care, you got to pay for salary. Around $200 billion. That's with a B. So, how much does an aircraft carrier cost? You know, somewhere between $10, $15 billion in there. So, we are spending an equivalent of maybe 10 aircraft carriers a year on bureaucracy that doesn't fight. Now, a lot of those civilians are absolutely critical, but we've seen also a change is now what we face is we have to have low-cost, rapid deployment of systems. Drones, you know, the technology is changing every 6 months. So you have to have a capability to produce enormous volume of low cost. So there is a transition that's happening in the military. But I'm, you know, the military, the Department of War has yet to pass an audit. My understanding is that audit is forthcoming. I can't wait for this one. but yeah, there's all sorts of things that we need to do. And oh, by the way, how much of the budget is the military? You know, you look at our budget as a country. We reached $50 trillion in debt. So of our budget, less than a third is called discretionary. Of that discretionary, over half is actually defense. So the big balloons of what the U.S. is paying for are the three ships, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare. And there's a lot of fraud in that system, too. There's a lot of fraud in Department of War. And everything should be looked at because it's our money.
Right.
I mean, we pay taxes. We expect, you know, someone to monitor where this fund is going to go.
Let's get another call.
Good question.
This is Rick. Rick, good morning. You're on with Congressman Zinke. Go ahead.
Thank you, Congressman Zinke.
Good morning, Rick.
Civil service. Good morning. Thank you for your civil service and your military service. And as a constituent, I'm going to ask you if you might be able to do something for us here in Hamilton. We have the Rocky Mountain Lab here. It's a level 4 bio lab. And recently,
it's been the news rate lately, hasn't it?
Yeah, there's been two foreign naturalists busted for trying to bring pathogens in from the Congo.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of great people that work in that facility. A lot of great people. But when you have that going on, then it puts the whole system at risk, right?
Well, all we can get as a community from the lab is we're PhDs. There's nothing to see here. We have everything under control. There's no transparency. We don't know if these scientists are still working at the lab, if they're suspended, if they're allowed to leave the country because they are foreign nationalists. The government lab has not said a single solitary word. And we have this mine that proposed going up in the Bitterroot here.
Yep,
but, you know, you can see the river from the lab, and it's in Hamilton. It's in the city limits.
Yep.
And we don't have a security force that's military grade. We have contractors, and this has some of the most deadly pathogens in the world. And why can't we get any information from our government on the status of these two scientists and how much of a security threat is actually in the lab to our community? And if you could do something about that.
Yeah, you know what? I can and I will. And that's a good point. This is why it's so important to talk to people. Because one is that they need to be transparent what's going on in there. And their security needs to be looked at. And if there's a possibility of a breach of security, as you point out, then that needs to be attended to. But I agree with you, and I'll get with our two senators and Troy. We'll get a letter out to make sure that the good people of Hamilton and Bitterroot are informed what's going on.
You bet. We're going
to
come.
You have a right to that.
You bet. We're going
to
come right back, and we have Emma, Dave, Frank, and another Frank from Evergreen, Montana, to talk with Congressman Ryan Zinke, who's taking calls from our listeners until 9 o'clock this morning. 406-721-1290 is our number. We're coming right back on TalkBack statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Dust collect.
Dennis Bragg with your Town Square weather. Sunny, hazy, and hot as we close out the work week, but don't expect that to continue for the end of summer trip to the lake this weekend. Friday will be the hottest day of the week with most locations around 90, even the mid-90s in the lower Clark Fork. But increasing clouds will develop through the afternoon. There is a chance we could see some showers and even thunderstorms develop later in the evening. Saturday will stay warm with highs in the upper 80s, mostly cloudy skies, showers, thunderstorms, possibly some dry lightning. Sunny and a little cooler on Sunday.
Smiles are powerful. A simple smile can light up a whole room. And for 25 years, Smile Train has been lighting up the world with smiles. And each smile marks a step towards a brighter future. As the world's largest cleft lip and palate charity, Smile Train has supported more than 2 million life-changing cleft surgeries in over 90 countries. Leaving a legacy of resilience, joy, and beaming smiles for generations of children. To learn more about cleft lips and palates and how Smile Train is supporting the cleft community all over the world, please visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, lighting up the world with smiles for 25 years.
On America's darkest day, 9/11, our nation vowed to never forget. Let's keep that promise through education, remembrance, and honoring America's heroes and the families they leave behind. Head to T2T.org to learn more.
All right, we're back on TalkBack, and again, we're privileged to have Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke joining us here in the studio this morning, answering questions from our callers, and Emmett is one of those. Emmett, good morning. You're on with the congressman. Go ahead.
Good morning, Emmett.
Thanks for taking my call. Well, originally I'd called in to talk about iPhones and children's addictions to the iPhones because I know there are lawsuits against Instagram and Meta, and I think there should be, and I think it's an important topic. But you mentioned Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Well, I'm 58. I'm on Social Security. I go to the Senior Citizen Center sometimes, and I've heard on the news that Social Security could go bankrupt in 2030 or in a few years, and I think that's wrong. It's a promise that people, the government made to the seniors, and seniors have paid into Social Security. I don't think it should be, ever be touched because that's breaking a promise. Social Security has got to be shored up, but also it should be protected for the disabled, those mentally disabled, physically disabled veterans. And to me, that's not a partisan issue. I think that's just humanity. Same with my next statement, is that health care is a right, not a privilege. I don't think that's a partisan issue, and I think Medicare and Medicaid needs to be protected as well. And I don't want to see the Democrat Socialists get into power. That's the last thing I want to see. I'm voting straight Republican this year. But I think the Republicans need to support Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid or something else. It's just important that we keep our promise to our seniors and the disabled. What do you say?
Emmett, thanks for the call.
Social Security. All right. Social Security is becoming insolvent, and you're right, it is due in about 7.5 years. All three of them, by the way, I give the analogy of there are three ships sitting in the bay, and they're all sinking. That's Medicare, Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security. Is that, and we know they're sinking. We can tell you what year that they will sink. 8 years, 6.5, 7.5. So we know based on inflows and out that they're sinking. You're right. And so, but no one wants to go out and actually shore them up. They're just hoping they're maybe on a sandbar. So the fraud, waste, and abuse is apparent. It is there. So I think, number one, you should be a citizen. I think we need to look at that. And the Social Security side of it, where you pay in over the period of time, that actually is pretty solvent. Where the problems are of disability, what is disability, and how far do you go, and should you work if you can? So there's work incentives. We put in for Medicaid that you have to do 80 hours a month to draw free Medicare. So or Medicaid, I'm sorry, on that. But 80 hours and volunteer services work. So you can go down and volunteer at the food pantry.
Right.
The vets area, you can volunteer in some environmental group. That counts as civil service. So work is good. But, there's a promise made, should be a promise kept. I think Social Security should be defended. But we also make sure that the people that deserve it, have the benefit, and those scoundrels that are taking money from someone else, that's checked.
All right, let's try to get one more call in before we take a break. Dave, what's your question for Ryan Zinke?
Well, first of all...
Good morning, Dave.
Yes, good morning. There was war games held in Europe, and Iran or Ukraine and the United States were pitted against each other, and the Ukrainian drones annihilated our military. So we can learn something
I would object to that somehow Ukraine is stronger than the U.S.
I'm talking about in that war game.
Well, all right. If you look at drone per drone, and they've done really good at drones. But believe me, Ukraine does not have the firepower that the United States does. So
I'm just telling you about one little war game.
Yeah,
but
I saw the report, and the war game was limited. But yeah, their drones are good, absolutely, and drone warfare is now advancing. So, yeah.
But I'm bothered by what's going on with Trump. What he said about South Korea. There, first of all. There's 29,000 troops in South Korea, American troops, not 39,000. And furthermore, that South Korea pays most of the expense of our troops being there. And thirdly, that when our troops leave South Korea, they are better trained and more able to go to war than when they entered. It's a very good place to train troops. And I am also bothered by what Trump said about loving North Korean leader. When he has 50 nuclear weapons that can attack the United States and is supplying thousands of troops to Russia to fight Ukraine.
We are up against a break. Ryan will address that when we come back from
Absolutely.
The break here on Talkback.
I'm a big fan of South Korea.
Showers?
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Parents have a lot to get done in a day.
Sit tight, hon, I'll be right back.
But even when we're rushed, always remember, temperatures as low as 60 degrees can be deadly for children left in the car. Every time you park the car, stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, time is flying by. This hour is just going really, really quickly with Congressman Ryan Zinke here in the studio with us. And so let's just go ahead and... Oh, go ahead, Nick, please.
We had Dave's question.
Yes, Dave's question, please.
On Korea. I'm sensitive to Korea. My stepfather fought in Korea. And South Korean and Americans, our relationship is forged in blood. Long time, you know, working together. So I'm a big fan of South Korea. They've been a terrific ally. Look, on shipbuilding, South Korea has an enormous part to play on especially LNGs and things. So I'm a big fan of South Korea. Up front, sometimes the president says something, and sometimes it's for positioning. Sometimes he's thinking about it. Sometimes he's already done it. At the end of the day, he's a real estate tycoon billionaire from New York, from Manhattan. Why are people so surprised? It's like, oh, he should be more like Reagan. He's not Ronald Reagan. He is Donald J. Trump. He's a billionaire from Manhattan, and he loves the deals. That is Donald J. Trump. He's a CEO. His policies, I stand by the strong majority of them, sometimes. But look, people are shocked when the president says something. And you go, well, did he say it for position? Because you don't know.
Yeah.
That's not my particular tone or tenor.
He does not fit the mold.
He does not fit the mold of Ronald Reagan.
All right. Let's get Frank on the line. Frank, good morning. You're on with Congressman Zinke. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Good morning, Frank.
Ryan Zinke.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for serving. You've been great for our country.
I appreciate that. It's always been an honor.
You bet. On this mine here, up in the Black Butte mine, anybody can take a tour. I've been up there. Sheep Creek is going to be safe. The mine itself is in a huge bowl, and Sheep Creek goes into Smith River. Everybody has these signs, save our Smith. Well, the water can't get to it. It's just in a huge bowl.
Yeah. The listener, as you're talking about Sheep Creek over by White Sulphur Springs and not Sheep Creek by Bitterroot Reserve. Different mines, different play, and I'm a strong supporter of, outside of White Sulphur Springs, that mine has been safe, and you're right. It doesn't even sit in the same watershed as the Smith River. Yeah. It goes the other way, guys.
Yeah, exactly. And the tailings ponds are huge. You can park several 747 jets. And I've been up to the site. Anybody can take a tour. They're going to go down 1,700 feet, bring the copper out, take the tailings back in, cement them down in the bottom of the mine. We need the jobs. We need the tax revenue. Everybody cries about their property taxes on this program, how high they are. Well, everybody wants to stop logging, stop mining. And, we can't live on tourism alone. It just drives me nuts.
Well, and I think the Black Butte, I've been up there, looked at it, as a geologist, former. And look, I ran the U.S. Geological Survey as the Department of Interior. I've looked closely at that mine. That is a good play. It's a good mine. It's done well, and you're using advanced technology. So again, I support it, and I echo your thoughts.
Let's try to get one more call in before we run out of time here. This is Frank from Evergreen. Frank, you're on with Congressman Zinke.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. I just want to make this short and sweet. You were elected to be a representative. Why do you call yourself a representative?
Why do I call myself a what again?
A what?
A representative. You said it several times. I only heard one announcer on TV say that once. He was from North Dakota
I guess because my originally my family from Bainville, not North Dakota line, must be my vernacular. I am a representative. How's that?
There you go.
There, okay.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. All right, there you go. So we have about 3 minutes left in our time together with Ryan. So the floor is yours, sir. What would you like to talk to our audience about?
Overall, look, our country has a lot of issues, but I've never seen an issue that's not fixable. Everything we face, the $50 trillion debt, the overspending of the military, all these things are man-made issues that we can fix. But the assessment is you got crazy on the right. But I tell you, on the right, crazy with the national anthem plays, they stand. They're patriotic, and then you got the left, which is communist, and they are communist.
They're saying it now.
They're openly. They say that, hey, you know, men should be able to play women's sports, that property is bad, that we should live in a, you know, commune. We should have thought police in our neighborhoods. And it goes on and on and on and on. You know, that's not America. But, you know, in Montana, you know, I think there's things that we kind of, you know, move to is our public lands. That's important. We like our guns. We like the government there when we need it, but stay out of our house. And the government stops at the mailbox. What you do in your own house, as long as it doesn't interfere with kids and the elderly, you know, it's your business. But Montana is very patriotic. It's been an honor to serve. And, you know, I'm going to work on projects that I like with people that I like. Yeah, I'm not leaving, so I'll be around and always helpful, and I will no doubt continue to help the administration where I can, give them their best experience. But I remain an optimist. You know, the good thing is we're in Montana. You know, and it's a beautiful state, good people, hardworking people, and, you know, we should recognize our fortune for being here. And on election forward, I support Aaron Flint because I just can't see, you know, a Portland, Oregon socialist, if not communist, that's LGBTQ representing Montana. I think our base values are better. And sanctuary cities don't work. So Sanctuary Sam, you know, I don't see it.
Gotcha.
So what I see is pragmatic, common sense, looking out and making sure you serve those people that voted for you and that serve the people that didn't vote for you.
Ryan, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show on a regular basis, and we deeply appreciate your service to our country, both in the Navy and also in Congress. Thank you.
Well, and if you don't like talking to people, you shouldn't represent, because if you don't talk to people and listen to people, how do you represent them?
Well, we appreciate you doing that. So we're going to come right back. We have the crime report coming up here in just a moment, and all sorts of other features before we get into the 9 o'clock hour. We'll be right back.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. So tell them today, I love you. Get screened. It could help save their life. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
All right, welcome back to Talk Back, everybody. The final segment of our first hour on Talk Back this morning, and we are always privileged to end this hour by speaking with Matt Jennings, our Missoula County Attorney. Matt, good morning, sir. What's your report today?
Hey, good morning, Peter. Well, I wanted to start off today with mentioning a conviction I helped receive with one of my deputy county attorneys last week in a case of Ron Duggan. And this person shot a man in that tent back in November of 2023, and last Friday we concluded a two-week jury trial where the jury convicted him of mitigated deliberate homicide. So we've got sentencing coming up on that on October 19th, and we'll be working with the victim's family on making sure that we make an appropriate recommendation there. But that was a hard-fought victory, a lot of really great police work in that case, and a lot of other folks stepped up to make sure that we could tell a complete story to the jury. And always really appreciate the jury's participation in something like that. You know, we have to call folks in away from their jobs, away from their families, to sit there for a couple weeks, and it's really disruptive to their life, but it's one of the most important things that we can do in this democracy for public participation and make sure that we give fair trials to people that are accused of a crime. So really great outcome, just happy with everything despite the tragedy underlying the offense. Then this week we had 15 new complaints that we filed, and we had 7 violent crimes. We have been seeing a higher ratio of violent crimes to property and endangerment crimes this year. Not sure why. We're going to keep tracking that, and we've got some studies that we're going to kind of do the rest of this year to figure out if we can identify any of the trends that we're seeing. But one of the trends that we do see is we're really having another resurgence of methamphetamine in this community. And there's some information out there that some of the methamphetamine that's around now is different than it was 15 or 20 years ago. And we're experiencing a high rate of what is termed meth-induced psychosis. So people are using these stimulants, and it's actually completely altering their brain chemistry. And they're displaying signs of schizophrenia or manic behavior, and it doesn't necessarily go away when they stop using. It can permanently damage their brains. And people that follow me know that I've been very interested in some of the mental health issues that we're dealing with in this community, the state, and this country, and I truly am. But I also know that a lot of this mental health crisis that we're experiencing in our country is actually a methamphetamine crisis. And people are displaying mental health symptoms that are actually caused by underlying drug use. And it's been very, very hard for us to handle. So we had 7 violent crimes this week. We had 3 endangerment crimes. Those are usually related to driving behavior, and they all were this week. Then we had 2 property crimes and then only 3 drug crimes. And that might sound low, but like I said, a lot of these other crimes are actually related to drug use. They just may not be the primary charge in our sort of statistics on a weekly basis. In our violent crime category, we had 2 partner family member assaults, 2 non-family violence, and then 3 sexual assault cases. And these were all related to child pornography online. And sadly, that continues to be just a real issue in this community and elsewhere. But we take that extremely seriously because we find that things start online and then move into real on-hands victim issues. So we try and address this when they come across our desk.
Matt, I feel like I've seen a slight uptick just covering the crime locally and meth-related DUIs. How do you guys kind of handle those? Are they different than alcohol-related offenses? How does that work?
Yeah, they really are, because a lot of what we see actually are when people are coming down from meth, so they're not always so much high at the time. And historically, that's been something really hard for us to prosecute, because a lot of folks know what it looks like to be drunk or a drunk driver. A lot of folks don't know what it looks like to be high or on the nod, they call it, when you're sort of coming down from these drugs. And myself, with the County Attorneys Association, last legislative session, was able to change Montana's law to add what's called a per se limit to meth intoxication when you're driving. And so now we have this threshold where if we can prove that meth is in your blood while you're driving and you get stopped, we can get a conviction for DUI. And that's made it a lot easier for us to target these really dangerous and problematic drivers on the road. It was a great change. Glad the legislature took it on, and it's helping make our road safer.
Is that tough for officers in those situations? Because obviously, you know, you don't have an intoxilizer. There's no, you know, breath sample. So, you know, you have to look for the other signs of impaired driving, right?
That's right. It's a lot harder. The driving behavior is a little bit different. The signs are different, and law enforcement has to go through something called being a drug recognition expert to be able to identify some of those signs. Not every officer is one, and so it takes a lot of specialized training, a lot more knowledge to be able to identify some of those signs. But we are finding that, for instance, a lot of our deadly vehicle accidents, especially car and pedestrian, I would say about 90% of those accidents that I've seen in the last 5 to 8 years, the drivers had meth in their system.
Well, thank you so much for the report. It's always a pleasure. And Matt, and you have a great weekend, sir. We appreciate the report.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. All right, Nick, as we're looking forward to the next hour, we have a special guest coming up.
Yeah, John Jackson will join us. He's going to give us a call, and he'll be on for the full hour from 9 to 10. We're looking forward to it.
All right, there you go. And again, a big thank you to Congressman Ryan Zinke, and it's always been a pleasure to have him in the studio or on the phone. A great public servant and just an amazing career serving not just Montana, but the armed forces and, you know, all the good things that he has done. So,
and not done yet.
Not done yet, absolutely. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have another hour. We'll be speaking with John Jackson. He'll be joining us on the phone, and we'll be looking forward to lots of good topics with him, a former retired federal agent. So we're going to come right back after this quick timeout.
Views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers. This is the Montana News Network's Talk Back. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Good morning once again, everyone. It is hour number two of the Friday edition of Talk Back. I am Peter Christian. Nick Christensen is producing Talk Back and taking your phone calls this morning. And we are privileged to have with us once again our John Jackson, a retired federal agent who's lived and worked all over the world, including Afghanistan, South America. And he is back with us. And John, welcome back. It's good to have you, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Great to be here.
All right. So for those who missed the last time you were on, tell us a little bit about John Jackson.
Well, I attended Juilliard. I'm a graduate of the Harvard Business School. I lived through the Black Plague, and I had a great time during that. And you know what else? I've seen The Exorcist 167 times, and it keeps getting funnier every time I see it. That's pretty much my background.
Okay. Well, it's good to know. All right.
That's a Beetlejuice reference, everybody. Beetlejuice.
I gotcha. All right. So there's so much going on right now. The FBI has been busy hitting the Eric Swalwell, an individual who has become, if you will, infamous. With the things that he has done in Congress, and even the FBI has gotten interested.
Yes, very, very interesting developments. And let's face it, guys, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. It just comes out the other day that on the 15th of this month, just 6 days ago, the FBI intercepted Eric Swalwell, former disgraced Democrat congressman, intercepted him at the San Francisco airport, seized his laptop and his cell phone. The following day, they raided his home in D.C. And like I said out here on X, that just means the Adam Schiff just got real, guys. This just got real. And everybody's asking, like, what's the federal crime here? Because he is accused of a whole lot of things. And the guy is, so you guys know, he is a serial leaker of classified information, right, starting back in 2017 with Russiagate. I mean, he's committed some serious, serious crimes. Now, the statute of limitation has probably run on some of that already, but I guarantee you he's been doing it since then, okay? They've got him on I don't know how many crimes right now, but there's one. I want to see if you guys know this crime. It is 18 U.S.C. 242, making it a federal crime for anyone under color of law in their official capacity or using the authority of their public office to willfully deprive another person of rights. And that includes sexual assault or rape by a public official.
Wow.
This guy might be the scummiest guy in our lifetimes to be in the U.S. Congress, and he is accused of all manner of crimes.
All right. Well, we are talking with John Jackson. He's on the phone with us right now, and he'll be with us all the way until 10 o'clock this morning. Of course, we are inviting you to call in and comment as well if you have a question for John or if something that he talks about strikes a chord and you'd like to join right in. That's what this particular segment is all about. So our phone number is, again, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And once again, John is a retired federal agent, but lots of experience to talk about. And, of course, looking to take your phone calls as well. So many things, so many topics that we would like to tap along with John Jackson. We're looking forward to that here on Talk Back. So, again, our phone lines are open at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And we deeply appreciate John taking his time to talk with us this morning. We'll do that when we come back from this quick break on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
The
Dennis Bragg with your Town Square weather. Sunny, hazy, and hot as we close out the work week, but don't expect that to continue for the end of summer trip to the lake this weekend. Friday will be the hottest day of the week with most locations around 90, even the mid-90s in the lower Clark Fork. But increasing clouds will develop through the afternoon. There is a chance we could see some showers and even thunderstorms develop later in the evening. Saturday will stay warm with highs in the upper 80s, mostly cloudy skies, showers, thunderstorms, possibly some dry lightning. Sunny and a little cooler on Sunday.
Oh yeah, it is the Friday edition of Talk Back, and our special guest, our special commentator, I guess, joining us on the phone this morning, Nick and me, is John Jackson. And John, a retired federal agent, he's been all over the world and has lots of experiences to share, but he loves talking with our listeners, and they love talking to you. So folks are already lined up to talk with you, sir. Steve, good morning. You're on with John Jackson. Go ahead.
Oh, John, you don't know what you're in for. I don't know what you've done here. You've called into the most liberal city in Montana with all of this hearsay and radical speak. I don't know if Peter's going to put up with it. Peter, what do you think?
I think we can handle it.
Are you sure, Peter? I mean, Peter, this is stuff you don't like. I'm just watching out for your heart rate and your blood pressure on this call. You really don't want to get Peter mad. He'll just hang up on you.
Oh, for heaven's
sake. Go ahead, Steve. Let's come on, Steve. Let's go.
What's your question?
Oh, come on, man. I mean, isn't it the truth, though? I mean, we're always skirting around the real issues here, and so it's interesting to hear a perspective that's pretty straightforward, and I just wish you well on this call. I can't wait to hear Harry and Dave and all the rest call in to tell you how wrong you are and for... I can just tell by the tone of Peter's voice. He's not super excited, but we'll see. Anyway, take care. Have a great day. Happy Friday.
Wow. You know what happens when you assume. But anyway.
Well, let's move on. We got Nathan on hold.
Nathan's on the line. Nathan, good morning. You're on with John Jackson. Go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi, Nathan. You're on. Go ahead, please, sir.
Well, how are we? Look who's back. So... The Beatles never got back together. Sean Connery never came back as James Bond. But here's John Jackson back on Montana Radio.
All right, gotta love it. Go ahead.
Well, this is Try to Treat. I just want to come to you live from the New Jersey Turnpike, and I just thought I would take a few moments and say it's nice to hear from John. Wanted to hear more about our friend Mr. Swalwell, and maybe get some more insights into U.S. code. That's always fun.
All right. Thanks for the call. Go ahead.
I think we have a we're delayed here. Sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead, John.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, Nate is a great guy. He's one of our Twitter folks. He's one of our Montana Talks folks. You know, he's former radio guy himself. You know, I used to do radio stuff, and we always talk to him when we want the lowdown of what's going on up there in New York City, which we need a lot of info lately on because of Mr. Mom Dami, right?
Absolutely. All right, let's get Nancy on that. Nancy, good morning. You're on with John Jackson. Go ahead.
Hey, morning, Glory. Well, good morning, John. It's been a long time since we spoke, but we've had some good times on Montana Talks in the past. But I want to talk about what's going on in Dearborn, Michigan. And Jake Lang, who was part of the J6 crowd that got sent to federal prison, he spent 4 years in prison, and he was pardoned by President Trump. And he is leading this protest in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, against the Muslim takeover there, the Muslim Brotherhood. And I have to say this, so far there's been fistfights, but no deaths. And that's a good thing. But it's time that this has happened because, as you well know, that Dearborn Heights is the largest concentration of Muslims outside of the Middle East. And it's really a dangerous area. And they have been really... going towards Islam and, of course, Sharia law. And there's a lot of dangerous people concentrated there. And the Christian, white Christian population, that's about 47% in that area, are fighting back finally. So I'd like to know what you think about the outcome of this is going to be. And I know that
Nancy, real quick. First of all, you have to. It's not Dearborn. You have to say Dearborn. Dearborn. That's how you put it. You know, it's no longer Dearborn. It's Dearborn. Okay. Wait. Second, Nancy, I heard you talking in the previous hour. You were talking to Ryan Zinke, and when you asked him who he was going to pass the torch to. I'm assuming you were just teeing that up for him, right? you were just putting that ball up on the tee for him. You already knew the answer, right?
Yes, I did. Good girl.
I was afraid I was going to have to spank you here live on air, but good girl.
We got our Aaron Flint. We know that he's going to get into Congress, so there's no doubt about that.
All right, good deal.
Nancy, thank you.
But anyway, what's going to happen here in Dearborn Heights, I see a kickback here, and this has gone on so far. I mean, the Muslim Brotherhood is even changing the names of the streets there without even changing the ordinance. They've got streets named after terrorists, like Al-Qaeda, you know, and, you know, this has got to end.
The biggest thing we can do, and Republicans, and unfortunately, we're not residents of the state of Michigan, but we can do everything we can do out here on radio, social media, wherever, to put out every piece of true information there is about this Abdul El-Sayed. That's the battle for Michigan right now, guys, is you keep that guy out of the Senate, and that's the biggest win we could have for Michigan.
Yes, and Hugh Hewitt's been preaching on that, and I have to agree. The guy is coming from nowhere. He's using the archaic foundation of racism, and that's past. That's water under the bridge, and it's not working. And, of course, you know he murdered 4,700 kittens and puppies, and in a country that loves animals, that's not going to cut it either. But, I have a relative 70 miles south of Dearborn, and I know somebody here in Roundup that has relatives that live in Dearborn Heights, and we're really keeping us posted on the events there.
All right.
Nancy, it's Dearborn. You got to say Dearborn.
Thank you for the call, and we are seconds away from a commercial break. We have Rick and Dave both standing by to talk with John Jackson, and we would love to have you be a part of the conversation. He'll be with us all the way till 10 o'clock this morning. So if you'd like to weigh in, just give us a call. 406, we've barely even gotten started so far this hour. 406-721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. And we deeply appreciate John coming on and sharing his thoughts and his ideas with you. And so we're going to come right back as TalkBack will continue after this quick timeout statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. Drivers feeling extra pinch at the pump again this week as fuel prices push higher across Montana and the nation. According to the latest report from AAA Fuel Prices, the national average for regular unleaded rose to $4.10 a gallon, marking the highest level on record for this date in August. Here in Montana, drivers are paying even more, with prices climbing another dime a gallon in the past week, with the statewide average climbing to around $4.39 a gallon. In Missoula and Great Falls, pump prices are hovering near $4.36, while Billings sets closer to $4.39. Analysts attribute the late summer spike to stubborn crude oil prices in the $80 a barrel range and tight domestic inventories. AAA notes elevated crude costs could delay the typical seasonal price drop we usually see around Labor Day. It could be worse, though. California drivers are paying the most in the country, with an average price of $5.58 for a gallon of regular. Washington is the third most expensive at $5.24. And Oregon is also in the top 10 for the most expensive gas at $4.75 a gallon. Atlanta families are being forced to make some deep cuts in their budgets as inflation, and especially those gas prices, take a bigger bite of their income this summer. Tracy Taylor reports that new numbers show meat is not on the menu.
More families in Montana are cutting back on meat as grocery prices continue to climb. A new survey found 62% of households are buying less protein or switching to cheaper options. Beef has taken the biggest hit, with 43% cutting back. Nearly half are replacing it with foods like beans and lentils. The survey also found 58% of adults have eaten less protein or skipped it entirely, so a child or another family member could have more. Eggs remain the most popular budget-friendly substitute. Tracy Taylor, Montana State News Network.
Montana Farmers Union President Walter Schweitzer says soaring operating costs and market consolidation among meat packers mean ranchers aren't seeing most of that cash. This is the Montana State News Network.
Are you ready to take back Montana's future? Americans for Prosperity is building a grassroots movement to restore Montana's prosperity. We're fighting to cut property taxes, expand school choice, and eliminate job-killing regulations. But we can't do it without you. Join us today. Take action. Knock on doors. Make calls. Influence lawmakers. Be a part of the movement that's putting power back in the hands of Montanans. Sign up now at AmericansForProsperity.org. Paid for by Americans for Prosperity.
Hi, I'm Attorney General Austin Knutson. When you see emergency lights on the side of the road, slow down and move over. It's dangerous for first responders to help motorists on the side of the road while cars are buzzing by at 80 miles an hour. In Montana, when you see emergency lights on the side of the road, you must slow down and move over, or face a fine or even jail time. It's the law. When you see someone pulled over, slow down and move over. Sponsored by the Montana Department of Justice.
Hey, Friday morning continues on Talkback. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. And joining us on the phone right now, along with Nick Christensen, I'm Peter Christian. John Jackson is on the phone with us this morning, and folks are lined up to talk with you. So, Rick, you are up next. You're on with John Jackson. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Mr. Jackson. I'm almost 70 years old, and I was always taught as a child, you did not lie. Lying was dishonest. And if you did lie and you got caught, there was some accountability. I can remember Harry Reid lying, and his accountability was he was given an airport, or his name was used for the McCarran Airport in Las Vegas. So that accountability really wasn't there. But Adam Schiff, I remember him standing in the halls of Congress saying that he had the goods on Trump on the Russian collusion thing, and he never did say what it was.
That's right.
So I figure he's a liar, but he's never been held accountable. In fact, none of those people have been held accountable for what they did to Donald Trump. And they're all like, people are like crazy, like, well, Trump's just got to get over it. Well, I'm not over it, and they've never lied about me. And I expect more out of my politicians. Can we ever expect that Adam Schiff and his band of merry liars will ever be held accountable for the lies they've told to American public, specifically about Donald Trump and the Russian collusion? I'm not a huge Trump supporter, but lies are lies, and it's just not right.
All right, thanks for the call. John, please.
It's funny you mentioned that, because you could put Schiff and Swalwell in the same bucket as far as what they were doing, particularly back during Trump's first term and Russiagate and all that. They were both just loathsome, despicable sociopath liars and serial leakers of classified information. And like I said in the previous segment, the statute has run on a lot of that, and I don't know how much of it they've done, say, in the last 5 years. So you guys just know, the statute of limitations on almost all federal crimes is 5 years, period. And if they get that to go past, then you're not going to get them on anything. But see, this the era of the sociopath liar was inducted in by Barack Hussein Obama, and we've never looked back. And it is just, it's acid. It is poisoning our society. Because you know what? In our free country, in our free society, truth is the currency we live by. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, when I grew up, you calling somebody a liar to their face would probably get you a punch in the mouth.
Right.
And now today, with the, particularly with the Democrats, that's just the currency they live by. That's a prerequisite to moving up in their party, is how smooth of a sociopath liar you are.
All right, let's get another caller in. This is Dave. Dave, good morning. You're on with John Jackson. Go ahead.
Yes, first of all, I'd like to say that, you know, everyone is innocent and proven guilty. But I want to go on to talk about the Epstein files. Now, there are a lot of names in the Epstein file that we don't know the names of, but Representative Comer is running hearings, and he's bringing individuals in to talk. My problem with, I'm happy that he's doing the interviews, except that, except for Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, who were put under oath, all those other individuals who are coming in to talk are not being put under, they're not swearing that they're telling the truth. So I question the ability of that hearing to come up with true information on the Epstein files.
All right, thanks for the call, sir. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, dose of truth for everybody on the Epstein thing. Look, all the documents that are not classified have been released. And see, any documents remaining, any congressman can walk in there and read them. Okay, guys, there's no more documents that have not been released. And here's the thing everybody's got to remember. I mean, of course, do we want Epstein's gone away? He's passed away. But do we want any and all of these rich people that got away with molesting and maybe even raping underage women? Do we want them held to justice? Of course we do. But here's the thing. Once again, it comes back to the statute of limitations. There are so many different variables in this to actually get somebody prosecuted, because you're looking at the statute of limitations. You're looking at jurisdiction. You're looking at evidence. Is there any evidence actually out there? You know how many of these women, these young women, have already signed NDAs and taken payout money? They're out of this. They don't want to be a part of any of it, see? And so many people are like screaming at the wind about this when they just need to understand the realities of being able to prosecute somebody under United States law. I had to learn that in my career. You have to just learn when, okay, I know now I can't get this person. I have to move on.
You bet. All right. We're coming up against a break here in just a moment. But we have Perry from Columbus. We have Ed. We have Skip. And we're just getting started, because we have at least another half an hour of a conversation with John Jackson. And we deeply appreciate his time. And so we hope that you'll pick up the phone. Give us a call if something sparks your interest at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And, of course, we will continue with John when we come back from our commercial break. And, of course, Talk Back is statewide now on the Montana Talks Radio Network. So a whole lot more people have a chance to hear voices like John's and all of our other guests. And we appreciate that as well. So we're going to come right back after this quick timeout. Again, the phone number 406-721-1290. We'll be right back after this quick timeout here on Talk Back.
From our founding.
With KGRZ Sports, here's your sports update. Brought to you by Campbell Kia of Missoula. New and pre-owned vehicles at a no-pressure buying experience. Located off Expressway and online at CampbellKia.com. Here's Ace Sauerwein.
Some early Big Sky Conference betting odds from Jack Marshall on Twitter via the Action Network. The Montana Grizzlies will open up as 17.5-point favorites at home against Southern Utah. The defending national champs, Montana State, they're huge favorites, 38.5-point favorites at Utah Tech to begin the season next weekend. Some other Big Sky spreads, the Idaho Vandals favored by 1.5 against Cal Poly. Weber State, 3.5-point favorites at Northern Colorado. Davis opens up at 24.5-point favorites on the road against Portland State. Northern Arizona at home against Eastern Washington, favored by 6.5 points. And last but not least, Idaho State in a non-conference battle against VMI, the Bengals' heavy favorites at 31.5. That's a look at sports. I'm Ace Sauerwein.
Smiles are powerful. A simple smile can light up a whole room. And for 25 years, Smile Train has been lighting up the world with smiles. And each smile marks a step towards a brighter future. As the world's largest cleft lip and palate charity, Smile Train has supported more than 2 million life-changing cleft surgeries in over 90 countries, leaving a legacy of resilience, joy, and beaming smiles for generations of children. To learn more about cleft lips and palates and how Smile Train is supporting the cleft community all over the world, please visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, lighting up the world with smiles for 25 years.
They are our cuddlers and co-workers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The Friday Talk Back continues with our special guest, John Jackson, joining us on the phone right now, retired federal agent, lived and worked all over the world, lots of experience to share with you, and he wants to talk with you. And Perry from Columbus is standing by. Perry, good morning. You're on with John.
Good morning, Private Joker. Perry from Columbus here. I'm glad to hear your voice giving out the unfiltered truth here on the radio waves this morning. It's refreshing. I try to do my best to be swinging for the same target from Stillwater County here. But I just I want to get everybody in the audience here to hear your perspective on something that I think about and has been bothering me for a long time. And maybe you've got an explanation for it. But, you know, in the battle for our republic, it seems that, can you imagine two groups, two ideologies that are more diametrically opposed than Islamism and communism? You've got godless communists on one side and theocratic zealots on the other, yet somehow they've forged an alliance with the basically stated goal at this point of destroying the republic. So, you know, give our audience your take on exactly what's going on with that, if you would, please.
All right. Thanks for the call, sir.
I think that's an alliance for right now. And how they are both similar is they're both totalitarian, authoritarian. The state tells you what to do. And that's their common bond right there. But what's going to happen is, and this is not John Jackson's theory, this is a fact from watching how these people operate all over the world. Once they attain power, and then if they ever maintain or get a majority, then they will eat those same people. They will kick all of these white liberal elite communists out of their party, because here the bottom line on them is, if you're not one of them, you're an infidel. And it doesn't matter if you voted for them or not, you will be excommunicated. Just look at some of the people in their party that have already been ousted. Look at Dan Goldman up there in New York, one of the, you could say, one of the sleaziest Democrats out there, a made man. You know, he went after Trump during impeachments. And he dared just a couple of times to support
the Jewish people in New York, and he's gone, baby. I mean, and that's what they don't understand. This monster that they've created, the Frankenstein monster, is going to eat all of them in the end.
Wow. All right, let's get another call on. This is Ed. Ed, good morning, sir. You are on with John Jackson.
Okay, I got three quick things here. When I hear people talking about communism now, and I am no fan, absolutely, but it makes me think of old Joel McCarthy and the Red Scare of the 1950s. But that's just how it translates to me. But is there a statute of limitations on juvenile rape? There are some crimes where the statute of limitations goes away, and my guess is that there is no statute of limitations for juvenile rape. Third thing, going to take a road trip today. Ouch. Gas prices are up there, but we're going to go see my great-grandson. And in any event, heard on the radio this morning that the highest gas prices in Montana are in Petroleum County. What do you think about that?
All right, thanks for the call. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, the juvenile rape thing, I got to tell you, as a federal agent, I never worked juveniles. We were allowed to work 18 and up, period. There are different laws, and I've read some of those on the books there. I don't know if there's a statute of limitations on that. You got me on that. I never worked juvenile law.
We got about a minute.
Here's the thing on Joe McCarthy.
A minute before the break. Go ahead, quickly.
Okay. Here's the thing on Joe McCarthy, guys. There was a bunch of files released. I want to say it was about 20 years ago. And here's a big old reality check for everybody. Joe McCarthy was right on everything that he did. All of those people he was calling out, turns out when they released all the documents, they all were communists. Okay, go look it up. He's one of the most maligned guys in our politics over history, and everything he said was right.
All right, we're going to come right back. We have Skip and Joe, and still several other phone lines are lighting up still. John Jackson is joining us for another 20 minutes. He'll be with us till 10 o'clock this morning, and we appreciate him sharing his commentary. We're going to come right back after this quick timeout as TalkBack continues statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Hey there, it's Peter.
Women experience unique life stages such as pregnancy or menopause that can increase their risk of developing cardiovascular disease over the course of their lifetime. But here's the good news. Women have the best resource. We have each other.
Visit goredforwomen.org today to learn more.
All right, we're back on TalkBack this Friday, August 21st, and our special guest, John Jackson, sharing his commentary and his thoughts with our listeners this morning. Right now, it's Skip. Skip, go ahead. You're on with John.
Oh, thank you, Peter. And I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend here in Western Montana, and we keep the fire danger down. Please all be careful. John, thanks for coming on. I never had a chance to talk to you when you were on Aaron's program, but I thought maybe you'd like to chime in. Right now, we're kind of at a little bit of a lull in our election season, but you know, it's going to come up on us real quick. And in this final ballot that we have to vote on this year, I thought maybe you'd like to give us a couple of pointers on, especially the person that's going to end up replacing Ryan Zinke. Maybe you could give us a few reasons to make sure we vote correctly and who to vote for and where we stand in Montana. And because you have such a spectrum of knowledge about what's going on in our country, how we can do the right thing at the right time with the right guy in the state of Montana. I'll leave it at that, sir. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you, Skip. John, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt at all. I've known Aaron Flint since 2020 and was on his show as a regular guest and guest hosting for him since 2021 and traveled to Las Vegas with him. I know him as a person, know him as a friend, and I can tell you he's that guy. He's the guy you want to be your representative. And for a couple, I mean, not only is he a solid conservative, but he's that guy that's going to be responsive to you, okay? When you, you hit him up, you know, when he's up there in D.C., you hit him on an email, you hit him on a text or whatever, or call into a radio show, say if he calls in, and you tell him your issue, he's going to get on that. He's going to take it seriously. He's just that kind of guy. Because I've come to him myself as a personal friend and asked him, you know, this, that, and the other thing over the years, and he always is completely responsive to me, always just a good friend and a good guy. We don't want more fakers and more rhinos and any of the standard D.C. crapola. We need a real guy. That's why we need Aaron Flint.
All right. Let's get right to another call. This is Joe. Good morning. You're on with John Jackson.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about this assassination culture that we're in, and specifically the Mangione plea deal. I don't know if he got a plea deal. I shouldn't have said that. He pled guilty. But I couldn't understand why he didn't go for a jury trial, because they say that 40% of Democrats approved of what he did when he murdered that executive. And then the other thing is... Mr. Ohm, who's running for Senate, has brought out the issue of the Biden Center, or the Baca Center, excuse me, at the University of Montana, taking money from the communist Chinese. And I think that's great. But if you could leave me on the line to listen to the answer, that'd be great.
And the gentleman's name is Almay, by the way. But go ahead, John, please.
Yeah, the assassination culture obviously is just horrible, and this is the result of a left-wing program over to radicalize these people over the last however many years. It's 5 years, and look at just who has done all of these mass shootings over the last couple of years. It's always one of them, and this is a person. What makes me cringe is here's Mangione wanting to whack out, he did whack out the CEO of United Healthcare. I mean, do you think the CEO of United Healthcare is the guy out there denying your claim? I mean, he's the CEO. It's these lower level workers that are doing this. And second of all, if you want to be mad at somebody about why your healthcare claims are being denied, look up this one name, Barack Hussein Obama, because he's the guy that destroyed healthcare today as you know it with Obamacare. That's the guy. You want to be mad at somebody? Be mad at him.
What is the status of Obamacare right now?
It's still going. I mean, they weren't able, because of John McCain, we weren't able to repeal it in Trump's first term, so it's still the law of the land.
All right. Let's get Ted on the line. Ted, good morning. You're on with John Jackson. Go ahead.
How sad it is, but almost like the Epstein people went to Ryan Zinke and told him, you need to drop out. And then the Epstein people went to Steve Daines, said, Steve, you need to drop out. Then the Epstein people went to Kurt Olmney and said, Steve, you're going to do whatever we tell you to do. And Steve said, yes, we'll do whatever you tell me to do. And then they went to Aaron Flint and said, you're going to do whatever we tell you to do. You said you worked in the FBI, but you haven't arrested one person.
All right, we're going to get to their next call.
Yeah, thanks.
Actually, we don't have a call.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. We got a minute and a half.
The floor is yours for a minute and a half. Go ahead, please.
Wait a minute. Are the Epstein people in the room with us now, guys? Are they there? Can you see them? Can you touch them?
No.
Maybe they're out putting the chemtrails up in the air. I mean, maybe that's it. I don't know.
I wondered where those chemtrails came from. But yeah. Right now.
You know, the Blue Angels are appearing in Billings right now, and they are making loops around, I mean, there are three counties
around. And I got to tell you, you know, somebody needs to get a hold of these Blue Angels because they're blasting chemtrails all over the place. I think it's a conspiracy, guys. I think it's one big conspiracy.
Tell you what, we have a break coming up here in just a minute, but when we come back, I want to talk about the thing that is finally getting the attention it so richly deserves, and that's the fact that this nation is $40 trillion in debt. That's our national debt. And it is such an awesome, in the truest sense of the word, number that you really just boggles the imagination when you try to figure out just how much money that is. And how much money we've run up on our national debt. So we're going to come right back, talk about that. And we do, again, all of our phone lines are open. If you have a question for John Jackson, we would love to have you give us a call here in the next segment at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Again, John Jackson is a retired federal agent. He's been all over the world. And, of course, yeah, he is a great commentator and has been throughout the country. So we're going to come right back after this quick timeout. If you'd like to be on the show, the number 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And again, thanks for joining us every day here on Talkback statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Hey, if you're waking up. Hey, welcome back. It's Talk Back. And it's the Friday edition, and we have John Jackson joining us on the phone this morning. And John, one of the things that it just beggars the imagination, the fact that this country is facing a $40 trillion national debt. That's not the deficit, that's the overall debt. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, a lot of us have been watching this since going back into the 90s and into the early 2000s. And you had guys like Ron Paul talking about it back then. And this is unsustainable. It will sink us. Everybody asks, you know, when will the world end? And everybody talks about pandemics and things like that, Walking Dead time. Well, guys, what's going to end the world is going to be economic. Because so much of the world now, not just the United States, is existing on this mattress of debt, this air, this money that doesn't actually exist. It's all pretend. And when will the stiff wind come by and blow it over? But what makes me laugh, too, is the other day when we passed the $40 trillion mark on the debt, you have all these politicians, and I mean Republicans, too, coming out and virtue signaling on this, harumph, 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 out here, oh, this is so bad, we've got to do something about this, this is unsustainable. And you see some of these people that have been up there in Congress for 5, 10, you got Grassley up there that's been how long, 40 years up there, and they're harumphing about this. Dude, show me a single budget that you've ever voted against. Show me one. And you know what we're doing right now under Donald J. Trump? We're just continuing to pass Joe Biden-era budgets. And you know, you saw what happened to Elon and Doge. You know, Elon came in here, thought he was going to save the world, thought we were going to cut $5 trillion, and I mean, that got shut down. I mean, that is the one constant of D.C. It doesn't matter, Republicans or Democrats, that money train just keeps on flowing, and it's going to crush us.
I was going to ask you, when is the track going to run out on that train? I mean, we'll finally get to the point where we're going to go over a cliff.
And see, we're not Argentina, okay? It's not, you guys know what happened in Argentina back 20 years ago when they actually went belly up, and Venezuela's belly up right now because they're a bunch of communists. That when we go belly up, there's nobody to bail us out.
Right.
We go belly up, and it's Walking Dead time. I mean, truly, when your money doesn't buy anything anymore, that paper money that you have in the bank is worthless. And I mean, that will be a Armageddon like people are just not even prepared to imagine.
All right. We have another caller waiting to visit with you. It's John. John, you're on with John Jackson. Go ahead.
Hey, it's good to hear you back on the radio again. But yeah, good point with this $40 trillion in debt. You know, we had Matt Rosendale. He's like our only constituent that actually stood up and voted down on all this stuff. You know, that's one thing I, you know, Zinke's been on and I've called and I've talked to him. And, you know, I said, you know, we can all look at your voting record. And so if you voted to add debt, we all know about it. It's there. You can't change it. So, you know, he's like, well, you know, I'm just one person and one voice. And it's like, well, a lot of these bills come down to where you only have one or two people have to stand up and they can shut these bills down. And I'm really hoping that Aaron will do that, you know, and I hope that you can talk to him and say, hey, you know, when Trump says pass this big, beautiful bill that adds, you know, X amount of $1 trillion to our debt, just say no. You know, hey, we need to do single issue bills. We need to become fiscally responsible.
You bet.
I mean, everybody talks about Trump being a businessman and how, you know, he's going to be good for running the country. But if he was running a business, how long would you run a business where you go into debt every year?
You bet. All right, John, we have exactly 2 minutes in our time left together. So it's yours.
Yeah, the caller is dead on there about Matt Rosendale, and I think he might have been my favorite congressman of all time, a guy that was actually my congressman. And for all of his, you know, his faults and his eccentricities, he walked his talk. He didn't just say I'm going to do a thing and then go to D.C. and do whatever they told him. He was that constant maverick that was voting against budgets, he never took pork. As I understand it, he never took any pork. And then he voted. He was one of, I believe, 9 congressmen who voted to oust a rhino Speaker of the House. I mean, it's too bad. It's a shame that he had to leave public life. He's an example of the kind of person you want up there doing that. And I told Aaron Flint, I said, you know, when he told me he was running for office, I said, bro, you better freaking lose your phone, okay? Because I promise you, I'm going to be blowing your phone up every one of these votes that comes up. I'm going to be like Big Cat saying, you have to vote no.
Right. John, well, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. We appreciate it. And we look forward to our next time we have a chance to have you on the show.
Hey, great fun, guys. I'd love to come back anytime.
Thank you, sir. All right, Mr. Nick, as we look forward to Monday, what's coming up, sir?
Yeah, it'll be Bob Seidenschwartz with the Montana World Affairs Council. He'll speak with Tom Sellinger, a Century of Service Project Manager for Diplomatic Studies and Training.
Wow.
So we'll have a lot to talk about, and yeah, give us a call.
All right, there you go. Hey, get out and enjoy the weekend, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here on Talk Back. We appreciate it. And to all the callers today, thank you. And we appreciate every single one of you. So we will look forward to Monday's edition of Talk Back, which, of course, as always, will be statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Have yourselves a great and please make it a very safe weekend. We'll see you Monday.